I want us to turn this morning to the 17th chapter of Luke. I'm going to read from verse 3 through verse 6. Verses 3, 4, 5, and 6. 17th chapter of Luke. Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. And the apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith. And the Lord said, if ye had faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye might say unto this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. Now this is a wonderful passage to me. It's great. And I hope we'll be able to get something great out of it. Something that will bless our souls. Now, this is my third message, I think, on the subject of forgiveness. And I feel justified in spending all the time necessary on this subject, because it is so essential to our salvation that we learn to forgive and forgive right. Jesus admonished us that if we didn't forgive, we would not be forgiven. So it is highly essential to our salvation that we learn to forgive. Now Jesus said, take heed to yourselves. That's good instruction, isn't it? I'm the fellow that I'm responsible for. The position I stand in as a minister of the gospel carries with it a certain degree of responsibility toward you too. But I say that the minister's first responsibility and duty is to keep himself saved. He can't be any blessing to anyone else unless he can keep himself saved. And unless he can practice what he preaches, he can't help folks much either. So, the minister needs a lot of prayer, and I need a lot. Take heed to yourselves. The psalmist David says, my soul is continually in my hand. My soul's the one I'm responsible first for, is my own. And that's true of you too. Your soul is continually in your hand. And it's important that you learn how to take care of your soul. And I believe that what we're dealing with now will affect you a little more deeply and in a little more personal way than perhaps anything else we could deal with in God's Word. Jesus thought that also, I'm sure. Because as he was teaching his disciples to pray, He taught them, among other things, that they would pray, "Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." You forgive us just like we forgive other people. Well, now that's the way the Lord does it, whether we realize it or not. That's just the way He does it. And then after He had finished that prayer, what we commonly call the Lord's Prayer, said amen, the prayer was over, He went right back and picked that up. Seemed like He realized that is going to affect them a little more deeply than anything else He had said. And said, if you don't forgive, you'll not be forgiven. If you forgive, you'll be forgiven. A lot hinges right in there. Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. If he repent, forgive him. Now, I've thought a lot of times what a responsibility it puts on me if somebody comes and asks me to forgive them for something. That puts me in a pretty close spot. If I just don't forgive them, I'm in trouble myself then. And if I don't forgive them like Jesus forgives, I'm still in trouble. I'd get along a lot better if they didn't come and ask me to forgive them, maybe. But if I have to forgive them even if they don't. Now He said, if they trespass against you 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day turn saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive them. Now just think about it. Suppose you get up at 6 in the morning and something happens and you get offended. Well, the offender says, I'm sorry, forgive me. All right, fine. But about 8:30 in the morning, something else happens. Well, the offender says, I'm sorry, forgive me. All right, fine. But about 11 o'clock, something else happens. Well, I'm sorry. I want you to forgive me. All right, I forgive you. About 1:30 in the afternoon, something else happens. Yeah. Well, all right, I forgive you again. Well, about 4 o'clock now, something else happens. Well, I'm sorry. I want you to forgive me. All right, I'll forgive you again. About 6:30, something else happens. Then about 9 o'clock, when you're about ready to go to bed, something else happens. Well, by that time, you're going to be saying that person's not very sincere. They don't mean what they're saying. Well, all right, but are they saying it? Jesus said, if they turn and say, I repent, thou shalt forgive them. Whether they're sincere or not, it's none of my business. That's between them and God. If they're not sincere and their heart's not meeting conditions with God, well, that's up to God and them. That's none of my business. But they said to me, I repent, I want you to forgive me. And He said, thou shalt forgive him. And this is Jesus. 7 times in a day, and that's a pretty big order, isn't it, folks? And the disciples said, Lord, increase our faith. And I believe I'd say the same thing. Just increase our faith. We need some help here at this point. Folks, you and I need need some help here at this point, just like those disciples did. And we need to acquire the ability in our hearts to forgive from our hearts. If we don't, folks, we're in trouble. Real trouble. Now, the disciples said, Lord, increase our faith. And Jesus said, if ye had faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye might say to this sycamore tree, be thou plucked up by the roots and be cast in the sea, and it would obey you. What's he talking about? He isn't talking about going out here and uprooting trees. The subject here is forgiveness. What this actually sums up to is that if you and I have faith enough in the all-atoning blood of the Son of God, we can command all them hard feelings and roots of bitterness and malice and everything in our hearts to come out by the roots, not leave any roots, and it'll obey us. Folks, we can get rid of things out of our lives and not leave any roots if we have faith enough in the all-atoning blood of the Son of God and appeal to Him to purge those things out. That's what Jesus is teaching me here. That's the sense of this passage. The whole passage is dealing with forgiveness, and he's talking about getting things out by the roots. It isn't a matter of clipping off the top and then the thing comes growing up again after a while. It isn't a matter of burying the hatchet with the handle sticking out so you can go back and get it. It's a matter of purging out of our hearts every unpleasant feeling and attitude toward everybody. He said in Colossians, the 3rd chapter, and verse 12, told us some things here that we should put away from us. And he said, put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, long-suffering, humbleness of mind, meekness, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. Folks, if we've got the right kind of equipment, if we have put on the right kind of things, if we have dressed our souls up in the proper kind of dress, it will equip and qualify us to forbear with one another and forgive one another. Forgiving one another, getting rid of all the loose connections that they are around, and cause you and me to flow together and blend in one in Christ. In the 4th chapter of Ephesians, in verse 31, he says, let all bitterness, now that's roots too, we're told in the 12th chapter of Hebrews to look diligently lest there be in any of you a root of bitterness springing up and trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Sometimes somebody comes around to some of we ministers and they say, we've got a matter here with somebody over here we'd like for you to help us straighten out. get this straightened out. Well, all right. Somebody hurt me. I've been offended, and this fella hurt me, and I want you to help me and this brother to get this thing straightened out. All right, now somebody hurt you, yes. And when did this happen now? That this person hurt you? I don't know. I think year before last, maybe. Somebody hurt you year before last? And you're still hurt? Yes. And you want us to help now to straighten this out? Yes. All right, we'll just begin on you. A person that's been carrying his hurt around since year before last, he needs some help now. I'll guarantee you there's some roots of bitterness that sprung up in there. You've carried that thing since year before last. Or last year either. It doesn't take very long for roots of bitterness to spring up. Looking diligently, lest there be in any of you a root of bitterness springing up which trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Now, I don't know your heart, but God does. And I don't go around saying you're in and you're out and you're in and you're out, but God said there were many defiled with this thing. Now, He knows who they are and how many, but He said there were many defiled with this thing. The Word of God says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, grudge. Anybody got a grudge this morning? My advice is unload it. Get rid of it if you have a grudge. That's what malice is. It's a continued holding bitterness. And we call it grudge. Then he continues, verse 32, fourth chapter of Ephesians. And be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Now that's the standard, folks. The standard of forgiveness was set by Jesus Christ Himself. And we are admonished to forgive one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven us. But you can't do that till you get rid of this other stuff. You can't be kind, you can't be tender-hearted, you can't be forgiving as Christ was forgiving till you get rid of all this other stuff. Bitterness and anger and wrath and evil speakings and malice and so on. We have to unload all of that in order to receive a measure of grace into our souls that'll help us fulfill this part of God's Word. Measure up to this. Now let us look at how God forgives us. In the 103rd Psalm, verse 8, he said, the Lord is merciful, gracious, slow to anger, plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide. Folks, that's something great right there. He will not always chide. He'll not always be scolding us. Not always be rebuking us. Not always be speaking His disapproval to us. Some people, even if they've gone through the the process of forgiving. They have a tendency to just kind of keep chiding. Just kind of keep telling people that they didn't like this, what they did to them. It's easy for them to be touched. It's easy for them to be kind of stirred again if something doesn't just look right, or somebody didn't speak just right, or didn't treat them just like they thought they should. Go right back to that thing back there and reprove about that again. Said, God doesn't do it that way. I believe it's in Ezekiel someplace. I don't know right now just where it is, but said, if God did that, then the Spirit would faint before Him. We'd wilt. We'd go down under it if God treated us that way. The Spirit would just faint before Him. If He just kept bringing up things to us. Some folks never forget. But it's to their own hurt that they carry the things that they carry. He shall not always chide. Maybe that same person gets involved with somebody else and they're trying to get that straightened out. And here comes this person that's had a little run-in with them too and say, well, I can tell you something about them. Chiding. He will not always chide. Neither will he keep his anger forever. Now God pronounced judgment on Edom. And for one of the things that he said, he kept his anger forever. Edom, that's the descendants of Esau. Jacob and Esau, you know, had a run in. And Esau was robbed of his birthright and of his blessing. He didn't get either one. And Jacob was responsible for it. Esau hated him and was going to murder him. He got out and left the country to save his own life. Now this thing runs on down the line. Esau apparently forgave. And I don't say he didn't. But it's just like the Hatfield and McCoys in Kentucky. Just a continual feud going. The progenitors of those clans died a long time ago. But their posterity is still carrying on their war. And the Israelites and Arabs are the same way. The Arabs are the descendants of Esau. And they're cluttered up around the Israelite nation over there and are set on their destruction. There's never going to be any peace in that country. That's an old feud going clear back to the old Bible times and all the way down the line. Those Arabs never are going to love those Israelites. There's never going to be any peace there, however hard they work at it. But God said that He would destroy them that they perish forever because they kept their anger forever. If you and I keep our anger forever, we don't forgive, Folks, our salvation's involved in this. We hang right up in here. A person that fails to forgive, the Bible said, if I keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, I'm guilty of all. I stumbled around over that text for quite a little while. It seemed to me like that it was saying that if a person lied, he was guilty of all the rest of the catalog of sin. He's guilty of all of it. Murder and adultery and fornication and everything else that went along in the catalog of sin. If he keeps the whole law and offends in one point, he's guilty of all. Well, I learned better than that. I don't think that anymore. That a fellow that lies is guilty of all these other things, but he's guilty of being a lawbreaker. And a person that fails to forgive is guilty of being a lawbreaker. He's an outlaw to the kingdom of God and of heaven and an alien to grace. And without grace, no one can be saved. And a person that fails to forgive is an alien to grace and an outlaw to the kingdom of God. He's just guilty of being a lawbreaker, that's all. Not of all them other items that's included in the catalog of sin, but he's just guilty of being a lawbreaker just as much as if he were an adulterer or fornicator or thief or liar or whatever. Name it all. Fellow that fails to forgive is in the same category, just a lawbreaker. An outlaw to the kingdom of heaven. Esau, Edom, kept his anger forever. But we're instructed under grace in the fourth chapter of Ephesians verse 26, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. In other words, pray out from under your hurts and wounds and bruises and put your faith in the all-atoning blood of the Son of God and have those things purged out of you and be delivered from them before they have any time to take any roots of bitterness in you. When things get rooted, they're harder to get rid of. And you take people that's had things going along with them for some little time, it's hard for them to get victory over that. But it can be done. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. No, he just forgave them. Forgave our sins and our iniquities. And when he had forgiven them, he didn't deal with us according to the sins we had committed. He just dealt with us as children of God in his mercy. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. How far is the east from the west? Anybody know? Now they have a north terminus, the North Pole. They have a south terminus, South Pole. But there's no East Pole and West Pole. You can start out going east and just go on east till time had run its course and you'd never get west. Just be east all the time. as far as the east is from the west. He didn't say as far as the north is from the south. Because they do have a terminus at each point. But he said as far as the east is from the west. So far has he removed our transgressions from us. Now that's putting them away from us, isn't it? Folks, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake have forgiven you, that means get it away from you. Put it clear out. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. Folks, we ought to remember that about one another too. We ought to remember that our brethren are human the same as us. And being human, they're subject to human frailties and limitations. And they're likely to make some mistakes, and some of those mistakes may hurt us some. Or be some offense to us. But God in His mercy looks down upon us and considers that we are just dust. Folks, we need to consider one another. We need to be kind, tender-hearted toward one another. Forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven us. In the 8th chapter of Hebrews, where it describes the new covenant, one thing he said about it was that he would be merciful to our transgressions and our sins and iniquities he would remember no more. Now God has the ability to forget that we ever sinned. Therefore, He's not always chiding. He isn't always reminding us of what we did that grieved Him and hurt His feelings. He isn't always speaking out His disapproval to us, else the Spirit would faint before Him, He said. Remember them no more. I remember one time Sister Manuel called me on the phone, and she says, well, I don't believe I'll go into that. I believe I'll bring another thought here before I close. 24th chapter of Proverbs, verses 17 and 18, he said, rejoice not when your enemy falleth. He's my enemy. He did me damage. But don't rejoice when he falls, and let not your heart be glad when he stumbleth. Lest the Lord see it and be displeased and withdraw his wrath from him. There are many times that God would deal with those that do wrong to others if the others would behave themselves right. If they'd keep their attitude right. He'd deal with people and straighten them out and maybe save them and you too. But because your attitude's bad, your attitude isn't right, and if you see trouble come on your enemy, you just kind of rejoice in it. If you don't say anything, just down in your sneaking heart, you rejoice in it, that he's having some trouble now. And when he stumbles, well, I was expecting something to happen to him. The way he treated me, he just getting what's coming to him now. I knew the Lord would move in on this. He'd do something. And we just let our hearts be glad. He said the Lord will just lift his hand. He'll pull out of it. I advocate this. I've preached this to you numbers of times. I'll preach it to you again this morning. That God is not going to get in on any of our problems till somebody gets right. As long as we're going to fight our own battles and contend for our rights and push our way through, God will let us fight our battles. He'll just stay out of it. Somebody has to get right. Somebody has to throw down their arms and quit the fight before God will participate in any problem that exists anywhere between any individuals. Then when somebody gets right and throws down their arms and quits the fight, God will get in on that side, whichever side it is, and work it out from there. Job said, 31st chapter of Job, I believe this is, maybe verse 29, he said, if I rejoiced at the destruction of him that hated me, or if I lifted up myself when trouble found him, when something happened to him and I just kind of gloated over it, now that proves I was right, see? The way things are turning out with him, that proved I was right. And I just kind of lifted up myself when trouble found him. He said, if I've done that, then let the cockleburrs come up instead of barley in my field. And noxious weeds take over my crop. Let everything go down if I've been guilty of that. Guilty of rejoicing at the destruction of the enemy. Him that hated me. Him that was against me. It's my business to forgive him and leave him in the hands of God. That's the way Jesus did when he was persecuted. He threatened not. When he was reviled, he reviled not again, but just committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. And that's the way we need to do. Just commit ourselves and the other fellow too into the hands of God and let God take care of things. Another thing he said about Edom over there in the first chapter of Micah, I believe it is. He said, no, this is the 25th chapter of Ezekiel, verse 12. He said, because you revenged yourself, you took vengeance and revenged yourself, therefore I will fight against you. God says, avenge not yourselves. Vengeance is mine, I'll repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. That's the way to do it. Heap coals of fire on his head, and when he runs out from under the fire, maybe he'll be your friend. Abraham Lincoln said the best way to eliminate an enemy was to make a friend out of him. And that seems to be what God's teaching you and me here. Forgive him and go to work to make a friend out of him. Says, vengeance is mine, I'll repay, saith the Lord. And he will if we stay out of it. If we just keep ourselves free and clear and keep the right attitude, he'll avenge us. But the thing that keeps you and me from being avenged sometimes is our bad attitude about the thing and toward people. And God just won't get in and participate in a thing like that. Let's stand now and be dismissed. We're going to have a little business session right after the meeting's dismissed, and we want everyone to stay. Kind Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we give you thanks for the blessing of forgiveness. Thank you for forgiven us and removing our iniquities as far from us as the east is from the west and remembering them no more. That puts you in a position where you can deal with us as children, beloved children. Grant each one of us grace to do this. Grant us that measure of faith in the all-atoning blood of the Son of God that we may be able to pluck out everything of an unpleasant nature by the roots. No roots left, and can forget them and go on being friends to those who have been our enemies. Even if they're still our enemies, it's a mark of victory to be able to be a friend to them. We ask you to bless every one of us now. Encourage all of our hearts. Comfort us in the Lord. Increase us in the divine virtues and graces of God. Enrich our lives with your presence and help us to abound in the grace and love of Christ. Be with us in this little business session following this service. Guide us in those things that we have to take care of. And we pray that all things may be conducted in a manner that would be honorable and glorifying to God. Dismiss us from this service. Go with us as we go from here. Grant each one of us safety. Safe escorts to our places. Bring us back together again this evening at 7 o'clock for the evening service. And we'll praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.